welcome those that are online, that are joining us, because together we are the church. We're the church, whether we're gathered in this building or not, we continue to remain to be the church. And so I'm glad you guys have joined with us today. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for our nation. Early in the year, I was talking with Menachem, and I was talking about us as the people of God. I had this thought that this year was going to be a year of distraction, and I had no idea. I was mainly thinking because of the election, and we tend to fight more during election years and get more divided, and then, you know, heat up some racial tension, throw in a pandemic, and man, we have a recipe going here. But I want to remind us as the people of God that we're part of a different kingdom, part of the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of light, and there are things that we need to speak up against, and there's times where we just need to be that light. And in light of that, we are going to start a new sermon series next week called The New Normal, The Kingdom. And Jesus has called us to a new normal. He's called us to live differently than the world around us, to see one another differently than we did before when we were in the kingdom of darkness. And so that's next week. But I want to talk about a really important subject this morning as we move towards that. So for those of you who know the story at the beginning of Hope Community Church, you know that that Barb and I and the family that we were a part of a church. I was pastoring a church, and it was one of those weird situations where they loved us and we loved them, and we liked them and they liked us. That was probably the weird part, and so it was really hard for us to leave. But both parties knew that God was calling us to do something. So it's like one of those bittersweet things. That's a different story than the first pastorate that I had. And if I could go back, I would probably do some things differently. But without throwing people under the bus, I was hurt. And my family was hurt in the process and things that transpired. In fact, just to be honest, we were angry about the way we were treated, the way other people were treated. It was a rough thing. Now, we didn't leave because of those reasons. We left because we didn't share the same mission and vision. And here's something that can happen. Otherwise, good people, when we have a different or even perceived different shared mission and vision, we can say and do very hurtful things to people. And let me make sure you heard me correctly. I said, otherwise good people. All right? Most of the people that have hurt me, most of the people that have hurt you, most of the time they're not the monsters we make them out to be. There's a handful of them out there that are. But in general, most of the people that have hurt you are people that you would say, that's a good person. You know, now we could walk through that theologically, what that means. But in general, they're not the monsters that we make them out to be. Now, regardless of whether or not they're monsters, it still hurts, right? It still hurts. Anybody here ever been hurt? All right. 99%. It hurts. And so when Barb and I, when we moved and we went to the next pastorate, we had this process where we just said, hey, we've been hurt, and we need to take time. We need to take time to forgive. We need to take time to heal, because here's what happens when we don't do that. We're part of an organization, be a church, a business. We're in some kind of relationship, and we move from that, and sometimes with good reason, and we go somewhere else. But if we don't deal with that hurt, we bring that with us. And we bring hurt and we bring pain to people that did not hurt us. Hurting people hurt others. And so we need to deal with this. We need to deal with the pain that's in our life. And all of us have experienced pain. Proverbs 4:23 tells us this. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life." I need to guard my heart. I need to look at my heart, and I need to ask myself, where is my heart? Especially when I'm angry or I've been hurt. I need to guide my heart in those times. And that's one of the things why I think it's so important that we're studying this Colossians 3, because we want God to mold us in the people that He wants us to be. We want to be the type of people that are patient, that are compassionate, and humble, and kind, and meek. Even if you don't want to be those kind of people, you want everybody else to be those kind, right? Because at least that's a good environment, even if I'm angry. So let's go through this verse. And maybe some of you have it memorized. If you do, come on up. All right, I'll go ahead and read it. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." So this is just a reminder. Look, you are part of this kingdom of darkness. You are outsiders. Now you are God's chosen ones. You are holy and you are beloved by God. He says, "Therefore, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." It's interesting the frequency of forgiveness in this passage. It has all these things, but they continue to point to forgiveness, and it reminds us to extend grace towards others. In fact, extend the same grace that has been given to us. And when you think of forgiveness, you go back to the original language, it literally means to extend grace. And you may say, that person doesn't deserve forgiveness. You're right. That's why they call it grace. You're giving them what they do not deserve. And I want to take a little bit of a different approach. I want to see what happens when we don't forgive, when we hold on to that. Now, these are not recommendations. This is just a matter of what happens when we hold on to that. And you think about that. Anger is something that happens in a moment. Like something happens to me, and I'm angry right now, right? That guy didn't signal, whatever it is. I apparently have problems with people in cars because I bring up those illustrations. I used to call people names. I've gotten better. I now tell my wife that this guy appears to be an idiot. I don't judge him anymore. But anger is a present moment thing. Bitterness is anger from the past that we've held on to, and we allow that to grow in our lives. And it kind of like an open wound, kind of festers, and you can get everybody infected around you. But let's talk about anger. Make sure we understand this, that anger is a human emotion, all right? And if it's an emotion, then it can be channeled and it can be controlled. But what happens when we don't do that, it becomes hazardous to me. It becomes hazardous to people around me. So we don't just hold that. We admit that to others. And we kind of send it out like a virus. And I guarantee you that virus isn't going to be protected by a mask. All right? Not to start anything. And so what we're going to talk about today is the anger that we carry with us. And let me give you just a couple things here really quick. Because we're either going to deal with our anger or we're going to feed it. You know? Either going to put it in that pot and let it stew, or we're going to deal with it. But here's what happens. Anger crushes our ability to experience intimacy with people in our lives. Really hard to experience intimacy when you're angry at someone. And this This happens with our spouses, our friends, our children, our co-workers. Anger sabotages our ability to receive love and give love. If I'm angry and I'm bitter and I do not deal with that, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to feel underappreciated everywhere I go. Because I'm already angered. And I'm going to feel devalued by the very people that are loving me. And you see that. You think of a bitter person and you pour out love on them, and they're going to tell you you don't love them. That's why this is a big deal. I mean, think about it. If you're around somebody that you feel like, okay, I got to walk in eggshells around this person, make sure I don't rattle them, they're probably an angry person. Right? I mean, that's probably the reality. Now, on the other hand, if everywhere you go and everybody's exceptionally nice to you, you might be an angry person. Or are you just admit, you know, happiness and everybody's just, you know, happy with you. I'll let you figure that out on what happens. But here's the thing. Sometimes we don't even know what we're angry about. Sometimes something has happened in our past, and we've held on to that, and to some degree we might even forget about that, but it's grown toxic in our life. And let me dispel a lie here. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Okay? Time is a factor in healing wounds, but time in and of itself doesn't heal all wounds. Why do you think we have the phrase, bitter old man, bitter old woman? Why? Because some pain was brought there and it wasn't dealt with. So we need to deal with our anger every day. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. And we're just going to walk through that and see how Paul dealt with anger. And by the way, Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison. Here's a dude. You ever get advice from people and you go, yeah, you don't have skin in the game. So their advice means nothing to you. You know, like I don't ride motorcycles. And so like if I told you, hey, you need to do this, this, and this when you ride a motorcycle, you're just going to be like, okay, whatever, four-wheeler. but Paul is sitting in prison. And he's going to instruct us on anger. This is a dude that has every right to be angry. He's mistreated. He is falsely, he is wrongly in prison. And he says this. He says, be angry. Apparently it's okay to be angry. I mean, there's... How many of you watched the news this week and you thought, I'm angry. And angry is like the politest, nicest word I could say. You know, something happened when you look and you said, I'm angry. I'm very angry. Okay, well, he says, be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. So it's not a sin to get angry. And this passage, this is a good one if you're married, by the way. And typically this one gets... used in marriage. You know, it's kind of like, hey, before you go to bed tonight, deal with this. Right. Now, there is a reality from time to time that we have problems that we're not going to solve tonight. All right? Sometimes there's problems that are bigger than that. If you can solve it that night, I highly recommend that. But I think in a general sense, this is saying don't move from one season of your life to the next without dealing with this. Don't allow this to linger. Deal with it and deal with it quickly. All right? So he's not, if we loosely translate it, it's deal with it before the next season. If you want to be strict literal, okay, don't go to bed tonight. Deal with this issue. Don't hold on to that anger. And he says this, verse 27, he says, and give no opportunity to the devil. Opportunity, original language, topos. It's a geographical location. It's a spot. And he's saying, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in the community, in the church, in the world you live in, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a place where he can set up camp. Don't surrender this place. And you know when I surrender? It's when I have anger and I do not deal with it. I've given him a place. And then Paul says, he says this in verse 28. He says, let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. It's kind of interesting that he talks about a thief right after that. And Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I do know that Paul is saying, hey, you, me, you, don't steal. Work with your hands. But I think we're allowing the devil to steal our joy. I mean, it's basically, you know, if I remain angry at my wife, I remain angry at somebody within this congregation, I'm saying, okay, devil, I'm going to let you steal my joy. I'm going to let you wreak havoc in this church. And that is a dangerous place to be. And here's what he does. Where do you think he's going to attack most? Relationships, right? I mean, what are the most important things? This relationship and this relationship. And he says, you know, I want to get in there. I want to destroy that. How are we going to get close to one another? How are we going to grow in this love that it's talking about if we don't deal with the hurt and the pain and the anger that's in our heart? We need to deal with those things. Number two about anger. Anger says, you owe me. And you may be right in that. You know, you probably watch things in the news and you say, that is wrong. You know, a man was killed. You'd say, you owe that guy a life. You shouldn't do that. There's destruction. You say, okay, you are robbing from that person. You owe them. That's anger. Anger says you owe me. And here's what we do. We become very good accountants. Even those of you that aren't good at math, we become good accountants. And we got our ledger over here, and we're like, okay, this is what you owe me. You owe me this, you owe me that, right? Now, hopefully none of you actually write those things down, but really, in our head, we become very good accountants. And here's how this plays out. Let's say you're in a business setting, you're in a church, you're in any organization, and maybe you've had this. You come up with a great idea, and somebody steals that idea. And they present that, and you go, wait a minute. That is my idea. You owe me. You stole from me. Maybe you grew up in a home, your parents got divorced. And in some way you say, hey, you guys owe me. I was robbed of growing up with my mom and dad. I was robbed of this thing. Or gossip. Okay? Somebody gossips about me, somebody gossips about you. What are they doing? They're stealing your reputation. And that's where you go, wait a minute, you owe me. That is not who I am, this. How about if somebody lies to you? Hey, we got an election coming up. Somebody's going to lie to you. Alright? Pretty much all of them. But what happens? You owe me. You robbed me of reality. You robbed me of the truth. You said this was true, and it's not true. Maybe you've gone through a divorce, and you could say, you know, you owe me. We, you know, we stood up there, we said these words, you know, to death do us part, and this and that. You owe me. Now, here's the thing. I can go through, and we go scenario through scenario. Every single person in here has been hurt. That's a reality. We've been hurt, and sometimes we have reason to be angry. We have even righteous reason to be angry at times. But here's the thing that moves to bitterness. That moves to bitterness if we don't deal with that, because somebody in the past has owed me something, and what will happen is that will settle in into resentment, and I'm going to bring that into a new setting. You ever had that where somebody comes into a new setting and something that you think is like really minor or you didn't even catch happens, and you go, whoa, what's going on here? Well, somebody has hurt that person in the past, and they have brought that into a new place. And if that's you, you know what's going on? You're allowing somebody that hurt you in the past to live in your head rent-free today. That is a reality. And here's what Paul says. He continues. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. It's telling us how to deal with this. But only such that is good for building up, that fits the occasion, that may give grace. Free gift, right? Give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, now this isn't just about you and I anymore, right? This is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And that's where I go, oh, okay, what's going on now? Because now I'm grieving God. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here's something I've discovered over time. Maybe you have too. When it comes to anger, when it comes to just about anything in my Christian walk, it's always my move. It's always my move. You know, it's kind of like you have siblings and there's a fight, and sometimes you just go to the bigger sibling and you go, you're the only one here. You're the more mature. You're the Christian. It's your move. It's your choice. Even with the anger that's in your life that you think might not affect anyone else, it is your move. It is your choice. And here's the thing. And if you're thinking this through, let me tell you, I'm here with you. Because there's times where you have to look at this and go, come on, Paul. Come on, man. You don't know my story. You don't know how badly these people have hurt me. This is the worst thing I've ever gone through. I have a right to be angry. Well, let me say this. This isn't about whether or not you have a right to be angry. There are many things where you say, of course you do. Paul had every right to be in that prison and to be angry. His rights were violated. Here's the question. So you're right. How long are you going to carry that anger? Is it worth the price of holding on to that anger? And here's something, too, that goes through our head. We think, well, if I forgive, I'm letting somebody off the hook. You know, they're getting away with this. And did Jesus let you off the hook, or did he deal with your sin? Did he deal with their sin? And the reality is, okay, it's not fair. Fairness went off the table a long time ago. Fairness went away at the cross. I don't want what's fair. If life is fair, Jesus and I trade places. And I'm going to assume you and Jesus trade places also if fairness is what's at stake. Here's what's at stake: freedom. Do you want to walk in freedom? Do you want to live in the freedom that God has called you to? And do you want to be a part of others that are walking in freedom, glorifying God? And you're going to have to be willing to get rid of anger. You're going to have to make a choice. And as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times, and Zeph, I'm sure you would verify this, that you hear horrible stories of injustice. You know, I always brace myself when people say, hey, can I tell you something I've never told anybody? And I've had that lots of times. And there's times I get angry at those stories. I think, man, how could somebody have hurt you like that? And years ago, I was teaching on forgiveness. I was working with a ministry, and this man came up to me, and right after I finished, you know, you kind of walk around and people go, hey, good sermon. you know, they talk to you, and this guy walks up to me, and he says, I will never forgive my father. Told me a couple horrible things that his dad did, and I said, well, how's your relationship with him? And I mean, is he harming you today? He said, my dad's dead. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, for a dead man, he's got a lot of control on you. He's got a lot of control on your life, and you're allowing him to live there rent-free. A couple years later, this guy knocked on my office door and said he needed help. His wife had left him. His children couldn't stand to be around him. And I'm going to tell you, this was somebody you'd say, that guy's a good guy. He's a good person. But his life was a mess. And here's the question I eventually asked him. I said, what your dad did to you is horrible. And you had every right to be angry. My question is to you as a grown man, why are you allowing him to continue to hurt you? Why are you allowing him to wreak havoc in your life, your wife's life, and your children's life? Hurting people hurt others. Paul continues, verse 31. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, extending grace to one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And you know what? And there are times where I read scriptures and I'm like, man, I don't necessarily like this part of the chapter when I'm the one who's angry and I have the right to be angry. But I'm called by Christ to forgive as he's forgiven me. And like I said before, fairness goes off the table. You know, when I think of that relationship with Christ, because most of us can walk around and go, yeah, there's a problem, and, you know, Josh and I got a problem, we really don't, but, you know, if we did, it's 10% me and 90% Josh, right? I mean, that's how our problems go, right? It's 10% us, 90% them. Well, when it comes to Christ and broken relationship with Christ and sin, man, it's 100% me, right? That's the reality. And so he forgave when I was the 100% in the wrong. Can you forgive that 10%? Or it could be the 100%. There are situations, you know, like this friend of mine that came in for counseling. Yeah, you were a child. You did nothing wrong. You deserved nothing of what happened to you. It was not your fault. It's going to ruin your life if you hang on to that. So forgiveness is canceling the debt. It's saying, okay, I had that ledger. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me. I'm going to cancel that. And the only reason why I can cancel that is because what Christ has done for me and what Christ is now doing in my life. This isn't just a mental thing. This is God. I need you in my life. I need your Holy Spirit to work through me. I need your strength. I need you to be the forgiver in me, to forgive what I think is impossible. Number three says, our third point is forgiveness breaks the stronghold of anger. We want to break that. And here's the thing: what can his dead father do to make it up for him? You know, what can anybody do to make up for the hurt that they brought in your life? You want to break that stronghold? You got to cancel that debt. And here's the thing. Sometimes when we get really honest and we say, okay, God, help me forgive. Sometimes in my life, the Holy Spirit reveals something to me. And you know what I need to do? I need to go to Josh. And I don't give him the numbers, by the way. Like, I don't say, hey, can you forgive me for my 10%, even though, you know, here's the 90%. No, what I do is go, hey, man, Josh, you know, I was wrong, you know, and we were doing this thing, and I was real snappy, and will you forgive me? And Josh Josh would be like, what was that? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. You know, everything's cool. Doesn't always work out that way. But there's a reality. It's a mutual thing, right? That we need to be people of reconciliation. So how do you cancel that debt? Because some of you are sitting there going, okay, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. What do? I'm glad you asked. How do I cancel the debt? Number one, identify the source of your anger. Who or what hurt you? Sometimes for me, it's not a person, it's a situation, and there's times where I just have to go, Don, this is life. This is what's happened, and really, you might just be angry at God. And I need to say, okay, God, I've been judging you. I need to quit doing that and recognize you're God and I'm not. But other times there's going to be, you know, and pray about it, because you might not know the source of your anger. And then you're going to find out, oh, okay, yeah, it was Billy Matthews. He kicked out that chair when I was in third grade. And you know, and I fell and everybody laughed. And now anytime I laugh, I hear laughing, I look around and say, who's laughing at me? And I'm angry and it builds up. So identify the source. Two, make a list of what you owe, what they owe you. All right? And you may, some of you are thinking, yeah, we could just skip over this part. No, not if this is a long-term thing. And you may pray this over. You could even write this down. And sometimes we need to think of the ramifications. Because sometimes we forgive people and we forgive them for that one thing, you know, like, okay, so you go through a divorce and you're like, okay, I forgive them for leaving me. Well, there's ramifications of that too. Like if I take a rock and I throw it in the water and there's ripple effects, you know, like, okay, yeah, I had to get a different job, I had to do this, none of my friends like me now, you know, all these different things. And so you put that down. You say, okay, this is what I feel like I'm owed for. This thing here. Number three, all right? This is important. If you do the first two and you don't do three and four, you're probably just stewing. And we don't want to stew. Three, decide to cancel the debt. And you might even just write that out. You know, if you get a red stamp and stamp cancel on. You know, do something. I used to work for this ministry called VCL International, and we would do these intensive 1 and 2 week times of discipleship counseling. And people would come in like really hurt, and we would have them make a list. You know, well, we'd make them do a couple lists. List all the people that have hurt you, and list all the people that you've hurt. Usually the list that have hurt them is much longer than the list of people that they've hurt. But what we would do is we'd tell them to walk through this, to pray through this. This, walking in forgiveness, was only second to knowing who you were in Christ that set people free. It's knowing who they were in Christ and forgiving those who hurt them. And so decide to cancel that debt. Four, close the account. We had people, and you could see tears in their eyes. We'd tell them, hey, if you want to, you can go out in the parking lot, and you can set that piece of paper on fire. So they had this list. Here's the people that have hurt me. Here's what they owe me. Here's what they did. Here's the ramifications. And they say, and they pray through, and they say, I choose to forgive Billy today. For this, and this, and I place them in your hands, God, and I'm canceling that debt. It's up to you. The answer's to you, not me. They'd like that on fire and put it in the parking lot and see tears through. And you could almost see in their face something just happened here as that debt was canceled. You know, bury it, burn it, whatever it is. Here's the problem, or here's the reality. Bottom line, forgiveness breaks the power of anger. How many of you would like the power of anger broken in your life? Five? Okay. All right. Well, let me pray for all of us. Lord God, man, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, because at the cross, the power of sin and death was defeated. We thank you so much for that. And Lord, You have placed in our hands the power to defeat anger in our own lives. And Lord God, I pray today that there'd be lists made, and there'd be lists that would be destroyed, that debts would be forgiven, that people would choose to close the account, Lord, that we would walk in the freedom that you have given us. And Lord, we thank you, and I pray, Lord God, that we would not overlook this, but we would be people that walk in your peace. We'd be people that walk in peace and patience and humility and kindness and forgiveness. Lord, have your way with us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.